Good afternoon. This is the Chorus Call conference operator. Welcome, and thank you for joining the Cementir Holding first half 2021 results conference call. As a reminder, all participants are in listen-only mode. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. Should anyone need assistance during the conference call, they may signal an operator by pressing star and zero on their telephone. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. Marco Maria Bianconi, Head of M&A and Investor Relations. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you, and welcome everybody to Cementir Holding half-year results conference call. Good afternoon and good morning to everybody. You have received the presentation deck, so I will make a short presentation, go through the deck, and then leave the questions to Mr. Caltagirone, who is here with us today for any questions you may have. So starting with the highlights on page two, the results were positive. Revenues reached 664.5 million euro, up 16.5% from last year, thanks to good performance in all geographies. Cement volumes were up 18.7%, driven by Turkey, Belgium, and Denmark. EBITDA was up 36.6% to 133.5 million euro, and there was a higher contribution from main geographies like Turkey, Belgium, and to a lesser extent, Asia-Pacific and Egypt. EBITDA margin was up to 20.1% compared to the 17.1% of the first half of last year. 2020 figures were impacted by COVID-19, and there were also 5.6 million euro one-off on last year's figures. EBIT was up 83% to 79 million euro, and net profits was reached 47.9 million euro from 20 million of last year. This is after 9.7 million euro of financial charges and 6.9 million of taxes. Net financial debt reached 137.6 million euro, down over 51% over the 12 months from 142.9 million euro of last year. This includes 23 million euro of share buybacks and the dividends. Moving on to the different geographies, starting with the most important, page three, Nordic and Baltic accounting for over 52% of our results. In Denmark, both grey and white cement volumes were up due to increased general market activity. White cement exports in particular were up over 22%, thanks to higher deliveries across the board in Europe, but also in the US. Grey cement exports were down 11%, mainly due to lower sales into Norway. RMC and aggregates were also up by 11 and 30% respectively from last year. EBITDA was slightly down by 2.5% in Denmark due to cost inflation, raw materials, electricity, and other operating costs. Norway, RMC business was up 3%, and there was a significant recovery from March onwards with the kickoff of some important projects. It's important to notice that the Norwegian krona appreciated around 5.5% versus the euro in the period. Sweden, the market was robust with favorable weather and a strong construction market where RMC and aggregates volumes were up 19 and 9% respectively from last year. Also in Sweden, the Swedish krona appreciated 3.5% versus the euro. Moving on to the second largest division, that's Belgium and France, on page four. As you can see here, again, cement volumes were up around 10%. The positive trend was in Belgium and France, whereas the Netherlands and Germany were relatively weak, although much less important in terms of size. Ready-mix volumes were up 30% thanks to some important projects kickoff, and also aggregates were up 10% thanks to strong domestic demand and exports to France. Operating leverage and some maintenance costs being postponed during the quarter allowed the EBITDA to increase by 25.2% in the period to 29.1 million euro. there was a slight negative impact from higher raw material costs. Moving to page five, to North America, as you can see here, sustained volume growth also in the U.S., up 13%, especially in the areas in the state of Florida and the York region, but also thanks to a favorable base effect. There was also a 1.2% increase in revenue, despite the currency translation impact, which was down on average in terms of the FX by 10% versus the euro. EBITDA was, however, up 8% thanks to good cost control. Moving on to Asia-Pacific on page six, as you can see here, China reported strong demand with white cement and clinker sales volumes up 16% in the period. EBITDA was up 22.6%. Malaysia, here, white cement sales were up almost 48%, whereas the domestic market was up 25%. In June, there was also a new lockdown in Malaysia, which has negatively affected the activity both in the domestic and the export market. Export volumes were up 50%, and there were increased exports of cement and clinker to Australia, the Philippines, and Bangladesh. EBITDA overall was up 79%, despite the negative impact of increasing fuel and other fixed costs. Moving to Turkey on page seven, as you can see here, gray cement volumes increased by around 29%, with domestic sales actually up 40%, with strong demand in the Marmara, Anatolia, and Aegean regions. Exports were down by 8%, and average cement prices were up in local currency, according to different local trends. RMC volumes were up strongly by 80%, thanks to the start of new infrastructure projects and the opening of some new plants. In the period, we have to record 33% Turkish lira devaluation versus the euro. Overall, there was a strong turnaround in EBITDA and across the board, including RMC and the waste business. We have to remind that 2020 figures included 3.1 million euro of one-offs. The last area is Egypt on page eight. You can see that here, again, white cement domestic volumes increased significantly by 30%. White exports were up by 20%, and overall EBITDA was up by 41.7%, thanks to operational leverage and good cost control. In the period, the Egyptian pound devalued by around 8.5% versus the euro. The last slide is about the revised 2021 full-year guidance. We are upgrading our guidance for the year. We expect now revenues of 1.35 billion euro from previous 1.3 billion, and EBITDA range from 295 million-305 million euro from 285 million-295 million of the previous guidance, and net debt unchanged to 30 million due to mainly a higher cash outlay than estimated due to the buyback, and then the CapEx is unchanged at 95 million euro. Obviously, this forward-looking indication does not include any new outbreaks on the COVID-19 pandemic. This ends my very short presentation, and I will now leave the floor to our Chairman and Chief Executive, Francesco Caltagirone, who's happy to answer any question you may have.
Excuse me, this is the Chorus Call conference operator. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their telephone. To remove yourself from the question queue, please press star and two. Please pick up the receiver when asking questions. Anyone who has a question may press star and one at this time. The first question is from Matteo Bonizzoni of Kepler. Please go ahead.
Yes, good evening. I have two questions. The first one is related on your view on the balance between pricing and cost inflation for the year and in general going forward. So clearly, cost inflation will remain an issue. What's your view on your ability to offset that in different countries for the second half of this year? For example, we have seen in Denmark a little bit of erosion on that slide on the margin. Can you elaborate a little bit on your key geographies? And the second and last question is as regards your thoughts on this Fit for 55 draft, which will basically significantly increase the decrease of the free allocation for the CO2 from now to 2035. Basically, we are going, if this draft is going to be approved, that is to be seen towards basically a cancellation of the free allocation in 2035. So there is a lot of time to act, but is a significant change compared to the current legislation. What are your thoughts about this draft? Thanks.
Thank you. About the cost inflation, I can say that compared to last year, we expect both for solid fuels and electricity an increase of cost on over the 12 months of about 22 million of euro compared from last year, and 7 million on solid fuels and 15 million on electricity. In terms of increase in dispatching cost and sea freight, we are talking about a minor increase that are around 2-3%. So this is our estimate, and we don't think that we might face significant headwinds in the second half, more than what we have already estimated for the full year. In terms of pricing, for sure in the first half, even because last year was less affected by the COVID, the Scandinavian region will have or started, let me say, to consider a price increase in the second half of this year for some products. The market, I mean, in Scandinavia is a bit different compared to, let me say, the other geography. Usually, we set the price for the full year during October, November, and for this reason, in the first half of this year, we didn't consider this sharp increase in this, especially in energy, and so for this reason we suffered a bit. But we think that for the second half, the price increase should outweigh the increase in energy, so we should go back to, let me say, a normal profitability, even because the demand is quite strong for every product, so starting from white cement to gray, but also ready mix and aggregates, and in all materials, we see a scarcity of supply even from the competitors. So there is, let me say, it's more easy to pass the price increase because, I mean, there is no availability of cement and ready mix in most of the European market, and not just in Scandinavia. For my thoughts about Fit for 55, about the free allocation and what will happen to this sector, I can say that, as you know, we, in our, let me say, long-term plan, considered a decrease of 30% by 2030, by a linear decrease of 3% each year for the next 10 years. Now what it seems that we will have this amount of free allocation that will be kept for the next 5 years till the end of 2025 as they are today, and then we'll decrease the 10% from 2026. So considering our linear model, we think that till 2027, so by the reduction of nearly 70%, of this amount, we are still in our, let me say, plan and trajectory. The other thing, as you know, today
I think that this document is mainly a technical, proposal that should be backed by the 27 countries in the next, I believe, couple of years. I don't frankly believe that we should keep this kind of cut, especially in the after 2030, because as you know, today there are not technical, solution in carbon capture, there are sequestration, usage of the CO2. So as we already seen from even from the automakers, so also the steel production, it's not easy just to implement a time line scale of this investment because there is no technology. So what I can say is that till 2027, for us, it is more or less as it is today. Then we will have to see, but I think it's difficult to forecast now from 6, 7 years ahead what will happen and what will be the technology, but also what will be the final price of the CO2, because it's almost, it's all even quite clear that part of the price inflation that we are seeing in most of the raw material is produced, especially in Europe, by the increase of the CO2 price. So then at the end, as I already said in the previous meeting that we had, that I don't see that the European community can allow the price of the raw material starting from electricity that is already the double or even more than the price of last year, that can keep continuing increasing with this pace. And just because we have to finance something that is unknown so far. Because, and so from the moment that electricity especially will hit all the people living in Europe and affect their balance sheet, I don't see that this path will be straightforward. I think that there will be a lot of challenge in the next 2 years from every country, because I think it is good and we have to do our best to cut the emission, but then also we have to consider that it's not only an issue of the industry, widely speaking, from steel, concrete to cement, but it's also about every people that have to change its own behavior and probably to change the balance sheet, because also plastic is affecting our everyday life, and probably plastic will be affected in terms of price from 100 to 300%. If the CO2 price will go toward 100 euros. So this is my, early thought about this, but for sure we have to build in the next few quarters, and I think it won't be a straightforward path. For sure, as I already said, cement is something together with steel that we need to change our economy and the way we live. So for sure, I expect that every price increase, even because we will have this border adjustment that will be in place from 2026, as already said, will limit the lending of the various products from outside the European market. So this will affect the price, for sure.
Thank you.
The next question is from Tobias Werner of Stifel. Please go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon, gentlemen. Thanks for taking my questions. And also thank you for specifying the cost of the increased fuels and electricity costs. And yeah, with regard to that cost, can you give us an indication of the 22 million, how much you've incurred in the first half and how much in the second half, or maybe just a weighting of that increase. That would be my first question. The second question relates to Turkish cement prices. Maybe you can give us an idea what the average price was for the first half, maybe in euros or in Turkish lira, whatever you prefer, and what rate it has exited June and where we are at now. And then just thirdly, in Egypt, there was just an agreement struck for the grey cement industry around capacity utilizations and optimizing pricing for the grey cement industry. Will that have an impact at all for you as the white cement industry, or is it something we can ignore? Thank you.
Okay. Starting from the last question, the grey cement agreement in Egypt will not affect the white cement, but mainly the white cement is exported and the grey cement is mainly domestic. For the cost inflation in energy, more or less is 50% and 50%, because especially we have very low inventories in coal last year due to the sharp increase of the sharp rebound of the heavy market in the last quarter of last year, and mainly in electricity we have, let me say, a contract in place that let us spread all the other increase. So these affected our balance sheet in the first half of around 10.5 million, and will be 11.5 million in the second half. Regarding Turkey, the price scenario is quite positive for two reasons. When you have inflation up to 16-18%, you have to increase the price nearly every month, and then also the demand for real investment are still good, and also the export from Turkey is very healthy for two reasons. One, because with the CO2 at 50 euros, cement exported from Europe, especially to Africa, is hard to zero, because there is not any more convenience, and so they replaced part of, let me say, this export from Europe, and also because the African market, especially the West Coast, is experiencing disruption for COVID, especially in the harbor, and so I think that even this year and next year, the extra capacity of the Turkish market will be mostly sold for export. That this year and last year peaked near around 30 million tons from an average of the last 10 years of around 10 million tons.
Thank you.
As a reminder, if you wish to register for a question, please press star 1 on your telephone. The next question is from Bruno Permutti of Intesa. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon. A few questions. The first one relates to the utilization rate of your capacity in Turkey. I would like to have an idea of where you are now. And related to this, what is the outlook you imagine for the operating profitability in the country? So, what could be a normalized operating profitability when you have recovered the utilization of your capacity? And a second point was more a strategic, a medium-term strategic outlook. So you are recovering the situation of Turkey that was probably an issue in the last few years. Probably also Egypt has returned to normality. So you have a very, very low net debt, or you plan to have a very low net debt by year end. So from the point of view in the midterm, what is the growth strategy? What could be the growth strategy for the group? So can we imagine how do you imagine the group in the next 2-3 years in terms of possible expansion, possible growth drivers?
Okay, starting from your first question, today in Turkey we have, let me say, for the whole year, sales about 4.2-4.3 million, both of cement and clinker, on a capacity that is roughly 5 million. Of these 4.3 million, 800,000 are exported. So this is the situation. The price environment, as I say, is quite healthy. And I mean, the average of profitability in Europe, because then there is also the headwind of the devaluation of the Turkish lira, we think that is, as already said, can go back between 30-40 million euro of EBITDA. So this is the average where we expect that we can land in 2 or 3 years. About our strategy, as I said, we are at near zero net debt by the end of the year, or the debt that we will have at the end of the year is the debt that we produced for the buyback. So from the industrial point of view, would have been zero, because we are, let me say, more or less going to spend nearly 30 million to the buyback, for the buyback that will end early in October. Today it's difficult, as I say, to value an asset for this Fit for 45 project, because still we don't have the final, let me say, approval, and which will be the final allocation, the cost of CO2, or it will be, I mean, or the technology that we might develop as a sector in, for carbon capture and sequestration. It is just betting at the casino that where you can earn a lot of money or waste a lot of money. So, as I said, I don't believe that for this and next year we are going to make a major, let me say, deal everywhere, because with the border tax adjustment, what besides protecting, let me say, the domestic industries, Europe wants that the other countries to converge to its own, let me say, system. So even investing in, let me say, emerging market or even China, today is difficult to evaluate, because if they start to converge in the next 2 or 3 years, then we have to understand at which level, which will be the possible, let me say, cut of, let me say, the allowance. As you know, China pledged to reach the zero, the neutrality by 2060, that is 10 years later, but we don't know what will happen from now to 2060, and this is a long-term, let me say, sector, and we cannot invest in this sector just having, let me say, the next 5 or 7 years clear. So I think that the M&A activity in the sector, it will be quite slow. This is my the strategy is to continue then to develop the low CO2 intensive, that they are mainly aggregates and partly ready mix, and also on the side product that you can, let me say, produce with the white cement that are mainly granite mortar that we are already producing, for example, in Malaysia, or we ship for the Australian market. But frankly speaking, I think that these are minor deal. I think that let me say, can support, and we believe that we are also quite ahead in our 3 years plan because the results are supporting us, that there will be a scarcity of cement in the next 5 to 7 years, even because what we have seen so far is just a demand from the household for restoration, and the main flow of European funds for the recovery funds will arrive starting from next year. So this will be an extra demand that will add on this, let me say, situation. So we expect in terms of growth, and even this year compared to last year, that was anyway a record year in revenue, we expect to increase our revenues 10%. That keeping the same perimeter is not so easy, but anyway, this means that quantity and price are, let me say, addressed in the right direction. And I see, as I already explained last time, that we are going to experience a market that for the next 5 to 7 years that probably is completely different than the market that we have seen for the last 13 years after Lehman Brothers. So with the market that is capped in terms of capacity because of the CO2 allowance, nobody is, let me say, supported to increase or revamp a plant in Europe. And with the border tax adjustment, the flow of cement will be or limited or will arrive with an extra cost of the CO2. That means that this will support an increase of the price widely. So this is, what I think. So today for M&A, frankly speaking, I don't see, let me say, reason to invest or to rush to invest because we don't know what will be the cash flow for the medium long term.
Thank you.
The next question is from Michele Baldelli of Exxon BNP Paribas. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon to everybody. I have two questions. The first one relates to the exports from Turkey, because from the slides that you presented, there is written that exports are down. I imagine not to Africa, but probably more to Europe. So I was wondering why, and if the costs of transports and the, let's say, shipping of goods by ships has been one of the reasons. The second question relates to the increase of the guidance. If you can just elaborate the two or three regions that you see performing better than the previous expectations. And the other questions relate to the Turkish margins. Because my idea, but maybe I'd be wrong, that probably already this year EBITDA margin can be on the double-digit figure. So I was wondering if you share this thought or you want to be more cautious. Thank you.
The export from Turkey decreased, mainly because the internal market is healthier than the export market. Then we have to consider one thing, that today, for example, with the actual freight, it cost nearly from 15 to 25 euro to ship cement in large vessel to Europe, but you avoid 50 euro of CO2. This is the game, and because why the Turkish market, the export from Turkish market is so healthy. The guidance, we have increased the guidance first for, let's say, because if you add, let me say, what we have done in the first quarter, in the first half, and then if we add the second half of last year, you land around 300 million euro of EBITDA. So from the moment that we expect that probably we should even be a little bit better in all the region, there is not a specific region because, as I said, today Turkey, Norway, and Belgium are performing better than expected, but let's say in Turkey we might expect a headwind from exchange rate, like what we experienced in the first half from the USA. But also the Scandinavian market, I think it's, let me say, good, well positioned, especially the Sweden market and the Danish market. So the guidance, let me say, as what we have seen in the first half, is better for every market, let's say, more or less. I mean, they will contribute, but for sure, I expect that in the second half, probably we might see a better performance from, let me say, Denmark than what we have seen in the first half. Margin in Turkey?
Yes, often no.
Yeah, we are, let me say, close to double digit in terms of profitability.
Okay, thank you very much.
The next question is from Alessandro Tortora of Mediobanca. Please go ahead.
Yes, hi, good afternoon to everybody. I have three questions, if I may. The first one is on the US market, if you can elaborate a bit more the scenario, because we observed an improvement in the second quarter, so I would like to understand if any price pressure you mentioned in the past are now basically indefinitely over in this market. The second question is on the level of allowances and the potential, let's say, deficit you may have next year. If I remember well, you mentioned something between 600 tons, okay, something like that, or 700, it depends on that. So just to understand how you're going to deal with that, if you're going to purchase on the market this deficit of allowances, and if you're fully confident then to pass through this cost through price increases. And yeah, these are the two questions. Thanks.
The US market, no, the US market is performing better. Besides, I mean, the issue of the currency rate, no, the price pressure is not anymore, especially because the freight rates are so high that especially the other small players are, let me say, arriving with more difficulties in the United States. And for this reason, it's, let me say, it's easier, and we have done a price, let me say, increase during the last months. The second question was about the allowance. Let me say, we are working hardly to decrease our need, especially because, let me say, as I said, we think that early next year we will have the natural gas in Aalborg, and it seems that also we will have in the second half of 2023 in Belgium. As you know, switching from coal to natural gas will cut the 30% of CO2 emission in one shot. And then also working on the mix and the rollout of the future SEM is going better. So I hope that probably in the update of the industrial rolling update, I mean, that we will do at the end of this year, probably we will release early next year, probably we can cut during especially the 21-23 or the 22-24, that will be the next, let me say, industrial plan, cut significantly the need of the CO2 that we have probably. I hope that, let's say, will be around 30%. This is my feelings, that we can cut this for the next 3 years figures. In terms of how we can finance, let me say, because we already put in every contract, everywhere, and the supply, but every cement player is doing this, because the cost of CO2 is a line of cost. So if the cost is higher, then probably the reason that we are already sharing is that there is a lack of material in some markets already, in the UK, but I expect that in most of European country, the cement product, most of the market are short in cement, especially if this infrastructure demand for cement will arrive in the next several years. So I don't think, and this is, let me say, our view in our industrial plant, that the price of the CO2, even if it will be around 60 or 70 euro, will be a major, let me say, issue to fulfill our industrial plan.
Okay. And then, sorry, I recall the third question was on Denmark. Are there any specific reason why you were not able to, let's say, pass through the cost inflation through price increases, also in light of the strong, let's say, volume trend you mentioned in the country?
No, I explained before that in the Danish market, usually you sign the nearly 90% of your supply in October, November, and we didn't have last October, November a view of this price increase. So for sure, for the contract that we already start to talk and we will finalize in October, November this year, they will include all the pricing cost increase inflation that we had during this year. So for this reason, I expect, especially in the last quarter of this year, a recovery of profitability, just because there is a mismatch, because in most of the other markets, you sell just 1 or 2 months ahead. In the Danish market, even because we are the only player, we set the price for the full year. So this is the reason, not because we are not able to pass the price, but if you sign a contract, then you have to fulfill a contract. For this reason, we are going to increase the price, let me say, for the next year, for sure.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thanks.
Gentlemen, there are no more questions registered at this time.
Then thank you very much for your interest in Cementir Holding, and we wish you a pleasant rest of the day. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.